Rosh Hashanah. That's why I teach.
Oh, that's why you teach. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld teaches that Benoist Devoira is speaking on the power of Rosh Hashanah.
There is a lot to talk about in the seminar I teach, and we can go down that lane if you want. But I think it'll be more interesting to remain with the original subject, Bezrus Hashem. I'm going to begin with three questions, and hopefully by the end of the drasha, we'll have answered the three questions. We're holding by some powerful days, beautiful days, a lot of potential out there, and I'm hoping that by talking about Rosh Hashanah itself, we can already begin preparing ourselves for that day. So to begin with, question number one. On all the Moyadim, we speak about topics when we lane, Kriyas HaTorah, ideas that pertain to that Yom Tov. Whether it's Pesach, and we lane about the Korban Pesach, whether it's Shavuos, and we're talking about Matan Torah. It comes to Rosh Hashanah, and if you ask someone, so what's the laning going to be about? You'd have thought it's going to be about the Eimas Adin, about Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But instead, what we're greeted with is Leida Sarah. Sarah Imenu gave birth. It's a beautiful episode, miraculous. A 90-year-old woman. But still, is this the ultimate, unique connection to Rosh Hashanah, that specifically that parsha we're going to be laning about? That's question number one. Question number two, we're going to go a little bit back, or forward, to Parshas Vayera. In the Haftarah of Parshas Vayera, there are two stories that are mentioned there. Story number one is the story of Eshes Avadia. Eshes Avadia, as we know, her husband borrowed a lot of money from Yoram Ben Achov. She owed him, she couldn't pay him back. He wanted to take her children as collateral, use them as slaves. She went crying to Elisha, and a whole miraculous event took place. He told her to fill her house up with kelim, told her the oil she has she should pour. And that was the whole story. And then we speak about a second story, the Isha HaShunamis. This was the woman who prepared a special room for Elisha every time he passed through her town, where he could stay there and sleep there and rest there. And it describes how he wanted to give them a bracha. And Gehazi told him they haven't got any children. And he blessed it with a child. And it goes through how Le'olenu, a child, was nifta. And Elisha brought him back to life. So the second story, which we talk about there, is very connected to the parsha. Sarai Imenu gave birth after many years. So we have another story of Isha HaShunamis also waited many years and she gave birth. But how does the story of Eshes Avadia come into that Haftarah? Why do we have to speak about that story? That's question number two. And question number three, bringing it back to where we're holding in the year. Rosh Hashanah itself has several names associated with it. Names that we see in the Tefillah, Yom HaZikaron, Yom Teruah. But the name that we all call it is Rosh Hashanah. The name of the Masechta is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh, the beginning, the start of the year. Now, as we know, the name of something normally is describing the essence of that idea. And the question is that Rosh Hashanah is a date. It's a date. It's the beginning of a year. Would it not have made more sense to call it Yom HaDin? Call the Masechta Yom HaDin. Why specifically do we call this special Yom Tov coming up Rosh Hashanah? Out of all the names that would describe its uniqueness, this is the name that you came out with, a date. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year. Says Rishim Shem Pinkas, Vaistois, he said, that the entire power of the day, the uniqueness of Rosh Hashanah, lies in its name, Taka, that it's the beginning of the year. And that, Bezrus Hashem, is what we're going to try and understand. What is it? What is this power that lies in the fact that it's Rosh Hashanah? So everything I'm going to say now, most of it now, is going to be from Rosh Hashem Pinkas, even if I don't say his name. Rosh Hashem brings down from the Sfarim, things which I don't understand, are far beyond us, but he just brings out this idea, the Torah already speaks out, that the Moyadim correspond to our Ovois. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Pesach, Shavuah, Sukkos, they correspond to the different Ovois. Not only that, but the Midas, Rachum, Chanan, all the different Midas of the year correspond to different parts of the year. And what's relevant for us is the next part, which he says, that the Moyadim, the Yomim Tovim, correspond to the human body. All the different times of the year that come up are all corresponding to different parts of the human body. Okay, that's something we'll have to accept, the premise. Without understanding, maybe you understand it. Which means, says Rosh Hashanah Pinkus, if you want to understand what Rosh Hashanah is all about, relative to the other Yomim Tovim, then you have to think, what is it about the Rosh, our head, because Rosh Hashanah corresponds to our head, what is it that our head has more than the rest of the parts of our body? What is unique about our heads relative to the different parts of our body? There's many things you can say, depending who you are, if you're a psychologist, or if you're a builder. Everyone will have different explanations. But he speaks out something very simple and beautiful in its simplicity. To the person, if you look at the arms, the legs, we're limited in what we can do. Some of us, I guess, can lift our hand up and touch the ceiling. Some of us, we have to stand on a chair. Maybe if we stand on top of the building and we lift our hand, we'll go a little bit higher. But we're limited. You get to a point where as high as I can reach, ad kan. Our legs are the same thing. We can walk and walk. We get to a point, kilometer, 10 kilometers, 20 kilometers, and that's it. That's this part of the body. You carry on going up and you get to the nose, the chush areah. Here already we can smell things far away. You get to the ears, you can hear thunder in the sky. Get to the eyes, you can see stars which are light years away. And then you reach the head, the seichel. The seichel, says Rosh Hashanah Pinkus, can't even be compared to the rest of the body. Because a person can stand down here in this world and he can say, Ono Hashem Oshiyono. Each one of us, we're standing, we're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in those moments while we're connecting, we're relating, we're thinking of Hashem, says the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, we are now dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means our feet are on this world, but our machshava, our seichel is now dovuk to the Kisei HaKavod. The Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Gimel, it describes someone who wants to travel from here, from earth, to the Kisei HaKavod, from here to the Rekia, it says it would take 500 years. Just to go through the Rekia would be another 500 years. It goes through the seven heavens, pastures, each one would also be 500 years, the Gemara says. If you add up all the numbers, till you get past the Chiyos, past everything else, it adds up to around 90,000 years. But we can stand down here, utter a few words, and we're already there. That's the koyach of the Rosh. Far surpassing any other part of the body. We can fly up immediately. And that, says Rosh Hashanah Pinkus, is what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Rosh Hashanah, if you want to understand what its koyach is over the rest of the Yomim Tovim, its koyach is that it's unlimited. There's no gvul, there's no boundaries. The reason being is, because Rosh Hashanah is Hayom HaRasoilom. It's the day where the world was created. Well, not really. The world was created Chof Hei Elo, but Adam Harishon was created. Adam Harishon was the pinnacle of creation. The world was created for us, and that is the day Bria Soilom Sheishes Mei Bereishis, when everything is there. And that day, the Yom HaRasoilom, as we're going to see, lies in there the entire koyach of what we have. If we want to know those koyaches, then we can't look at Adam Harishon 2 days after he was created. Because it was only in the first 12 hours of the day that Adam HaRishon remained who he was. 12 hours later, he was no longer the Adam HaRishon that was described. He had already been kicked out of Gan Eden. His koyma had already been nismayit, the Medrash says, to 100 amos. So if we want to know who Adam HaRishon really was, we have to look at the first 12 hours of his day. The first day when he was created. After that, you already have the Dor HaMabul, the Dor HaFloga. Mankind changed. Everything changed. Like the Rasgrov says, if you want to understand someone really, really in their essence, who they are, their koichas, you have 1 week to do it. The first week of their life. After that, it's no longer them. They're copying others. A tremendous yasod if we think about it. We can all relate to it when you think of a baby, a child, who everything they're doing is watching their siblings, their parents, their caregivers around them, what they're doing, how they're doing, what they're saying. And unfortunately, whether it's consciously sometimes, whether it's unconsciously sometimes, most of our life, if we think about it, is copying, is learning from others. Whether it's copying from when we were kids, we learned how to shake when we daven, the way we make a bracha, the way we relate to others, everything is about copying. And that's why the Rasgrov used to say, if you want to know someone, you've got 1 week of their life to do it. If we want to know Adam HaRishon, we've got one day, 12 hours, to understand what Adam HaRishon really was. Adam HaRishon, on the first day, he was able to see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. He went Me'oritz Ad L'Rakia. And these aren't only physical measurements. We're talking on a spiritual level as well. When we walk out on the street and we step on the pavement, we may have killed a few ants. When Oig Melech HaBoshon would walk on the street, he's most probably destroyed one or two cities as he walks. Adam HaRishon, on the first day of creation, he was on such a high spiritual level that with one act, with one Avera, he was able to destroy the entire world. And that's why we're here for 6,000 years. Had he not done that one act, then with one not acting, he would have brought the world to its perfection. Because Adam HaRishon, in the first 12 hours of creation, was on such a high level that every action he did carried immense, immense power, enough to destroy or recreate the world. On Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, on when Adam HaRishon was created, which we're going back to, we're going back within that time, a person, as we're going to see, has the capabilities, the koiches, to be able to recreate the world, or chas v'shalom, vice versa. That's the koyach that we have. Even if you think about it from the perspective of the Eimasidim, the fear of them, Mrs. Yeshon writes in Pei Gimel how the Ovis were terrified of Din. And none of them managed to escape from it. Whether it's Avram or Havi, Hashem described him, Avram, the one I love. Whether it was Moshe, David HaMelech. And he goes through loads of different people who were unable to escape from the wrath of Din. And he said all of a sudden, or he says Shmuel HaNavi, the Gemara says, Shmuel HaNavi, Shaul called him after he had died, Shaul brought him back to the world to ask him a question. Shmuel didn't know why he was being called. He thought he was being called for Din. And he was terrified, the Gemara says. He was so scared that he actually pulled Moshe Rabbeinu out with him to at least defend him and say that he kept Kol HaTorah Kula. So you see how terrified they were of Din. And here you've got Klal Yisrael. We're standing in a shul. A Yid stands up. He takes the shofar. He blows it. And in 1 second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, goes from the Kisei HaDin to the Kisei HaRachamim. Because it's Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, everything is possible. We have unlimited capabilities. We have a power which is not there throughout any other time of the year. That is the power of Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah Pinchas continues, and he speaks out that, as we know, there are many names that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rachum, Chanun, Bal Chesed, Erech Apayim. Obviously they don't describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. They're the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us as Hanhoga in this world. And the Rambam speaks out, based on the Gemara, that this is how us, human being, mankind, are able to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mahu Chanun, Af Ato Chanun, Mahu Rachum, Af Ato Rachum. That's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity in this world to emulate Him. But there are two middos that in this world we can't emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. One of them is the Koyach of Yesh Me'ayim, creating something from nothing. Where we're holding was probably, many of you know better than me, but in 2023, the dizzying pace of technology, the inventions that we're literally flying through, Every day new things are coming out, whether it's AI, whether it's robotic, whether it's computer science, whatever it is, we're flying. We've reached levels that past generations didn't even dream of. I remember when I was in yeshiva and Rav Shimshon Pinkus, I was reading one of his forum, and he writes there, you know, one day you're going to go into a shop and you're not going to see people. It's all going to be robots, going to be machines. I remember thinking, really, you know, I mean, very sweet, but they don't have to exaggerate in life. And, you know, we're standing by a point where this is like, yeah, it's normal. Our kids are growing up in, with different understandings of the world. They look at me already like I'm past age. So we're holding by, it's flying the world. But with all the inventions, with all the technology, with all the brilliance, everything is created and based on something that's already been made. It's all yesh mi'esh. To have a yesh mi'ayin, that's something. Then Olam Hazeh, we haven't got the capabilities to do. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. It's not fair to say we don't. We do. There is one time when we do. And that is a Ben Torah who's sitting there learning his Mechadosh Kodosh HaTorah. Let the Sforim speak out this Koyach of a yesh mi'ayin, but it's not for now. Okay. But Be'etzim, we don't have this Koyach. There's another Koyach, and that's a Koyach of Ein Sof, of unlimitedness, if there's such a word. Endlessness. There is no end. This koyach to be able to do things without any limit whatsoever. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this koyach. We live in a world of time, of space. Everything has its measurements. Everything's... But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing. So the Ein Sof and the Yesh Me'ayin, which be'etzem are dependent on each other. If you have a koyach of Yesh Me'ayin, then automatically you can do something which is endless. The Ein Sof. They're connected to each other. Those two are something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. The Gemara says already, Yesha lehachnis pil b'chur shal machat. You can take an elephant, you can spend hours doing it, but you won't be able to get that elephant through the eye of the needle as hard as you try. Because the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the chok of Sheshes Mei Bereshis is that if you have a 2 meter tissue box that you're trying to fit into a 2 millimeter space, it's not going to go. You have a wall in front of you, you can't walk through it. It's not going to happen. Somehow my kids managed to get their tissues on the sides of the sofa still. I don't know how. But apart from that, it's impossible to be able to do these things. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the Chok of the Teva. But that is something that was there. This Koyach of Ein Sof, this Koyach of Yesh Me'ayin, all happened at Sheshes Mei Bereshis, on Rosh Hashanah. So, this koyach is there once again on Rosh Hashanah. Every year, when we come back to the Shoresh, to the Bria, to the start of the world, that koyach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of creating Yesh Me'ayin is there. The koyach of Ein Sof, of endlessness, is there. Which means we've spoken until now, mitzad as, the unlimited abilities we have, the first 12 hours of Adam Arishon, and now mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the koyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with, are there as well. And therefore, this will answer the first question we began with, Sarah Imenu. We asked the question, Sarah Imenu, you have to speak about her. Her leda, her birth, that she gave birth. There's so many things you could speak about. The answer is no, it's much more than that. Sarah Imenu, the Gemara says, not only was she barren, that she couldn't give birth, but she didn't have the kalim. She didn't have the necessary components in her body to be able to give birth. She was an islandess. The Gemara learns it out from the words Ein Lo Vlad, that not only could she not give birth, she didn't have the necessary components to be able to give birth. She didn't have the correct kalim. And on Rosh Hashanah, which is taka, the only time that such a thing can happen, when there's a bria, new bria, where there's a yesh mi'ayin, a koyach of Ein Sof, only then dafka on Rosh Hashanah, Rachel, Sarah, Chana, all of them receive the kalim to be able to give birth. There's taken no other time of the year when they would have been able to receive these kalim. Because they don't have them, they can't give birth. Dafgan Rosh Hashanah, where there's a new bria happening, then they were able to tap into the potential that is there. Rav Shimshon Pinkus speaks out about, he was sitting with the Bacha once, and the Bacha was telling him his aspirations. He's going to finish Shas, how he's going to do it. Within 15, 20 years, he'll have managed to do it. Shas be Ian, he'll know it bal peh. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus started laughing. So Bach said, why are you laughing? Did I tell you why? He said, I once gave shir in a moshav somewhere in Israel. And during the shir, I mentioned that on Yomim Tovim, when we say Nakdishoch and Nakadesh, there's at one point you can ask for one of three things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu: wealth, children, Sadiqim, Banim Sadiqim, Ruach HaKadosh. And when I mentioned this, one of the Yidden stood up and he said, Rabbi, I'm going to ask for Ruach HaKadosh. And I told him, Rosh Hashanah Minka said, that you can ask for it and you may receive it. But even if you receive it, do you have the kelim that is needed to be able to receive it and hold on to and use it? If you don't have the kelim, if you don't have the necessary prerequisite tools to hold it and keep it, you're not going to get anywhere. And Rosh Hashanah said, I'm telling you the same thing. You have dreams and aspirations of what you're going to do, what you're going to finish. But do you have the kelim that is needed to be able to do all of it? That's what you have to think about. And Rosh Hashanah ended off and he said, on Rosh Hashanah, you don't need the kelim. On Rosh Hashanah is the day where even if you don't have the kelim, you've got a right to come in and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want this. I want the kelim. Because it's a day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating Yesh Me'ayin and Ein Soif. Dafka on that day is a day when you can do it. And that's why we specifically read about the Leida Sara, to show us that Rosh Hashanah is this, has this power, has this potential. It's the Rosh. We're going back to Sheshes Mevereshes. You can ask for anything. New kelim are being given out, but we have to ask for it. Sarah Imenu tapped into the potential of the day. She tapped into that power, and look what she came out with. I heard over from Rabbi Nachum Stein, my good shir in Eretz Yisrael, and he spoke over. He had a girl who, when she was in Sem, she lived by there for several years. She got married, and unfortunately 8 years passed where she didn't have any children. They were in touch with her a lot. She flew around the world, she went to America, to California, right? Unfortunately, she wasn't Zeicher. Year number 8, she called him up before Rosh Hashanah, and she said to him, can I come and stay by you for Rosh Hashanah with my husband? You know, I've been married, we've been davening in the shul where we live, but I'm so used to the tefillin in the yeshiva, in Eretz Yisrael, I really miss it. Can I come back? So he said, yeah, unfortunately, yeah. It's only you and your husband. I've got space for two people. Fine. She came back for Rosh Hashanah. He said the seudah that night was, you could feel the heaviness. It wasn't easy. There was not a word of leitzonos. It was just literally divrei Torah. It was mamish special, he said. So the next morning, she woke up early. She was ready in shul. His daughters told him afterwards. She was there early. Already, he said, her eyes were already by her face. She was sobbing away. And the tefillah progressed. They started reading about tefillah Leida Sara. And then they got to the Haftarah of Chana. And they got to the part in Chana where Elkanah turns around to his wife. His wife is sad, dejected. And he said to him, Chana lo mesivki, why are you crying? And he said, Halei anoichi toiv loch mi'asara bonim, do you not know that I love you more than 10 children? The Balkari is in the middle of reading it from the Klaf. And he said the way the yeshiva was, there wasn't Ezra's Noshim upstairs. It was like here. It was behind. It was a thin curtain. He said all of a sudden, when he started reading those words, there was a piercing cry from Ezra's Noshim. And it got louder and louder. He said the entire yeshiva, there was 400 ben there, froze. Balkari stopped. He said the cry continued louder and louder. 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. A minute passed and it was just getting more and more and more. He said the whole yeshiva was frozen in place. A minute passed, 2 minutes passed. 2 minutes is a long time. Nothing, it was just crying and crying, but from a place that they could all feel was coming from such a depth. He said, you know, we stand in shul sometimes and we're embarrassed. We're embarrassed to cry, we're embarrassed to talk, we're embarrassed to cry out to Hashem. He said she wasn't. She took advantage of the moment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hashmieni es kolech, let me hear your voice. And she did. His daughter said anyone who was in her vicinity had to move away. There was such a powerful vibes coming out. There was such a power of tefillah. He said for 7 minutes, there was just crying. 7 minutes of silence from the rest of the shul, crying and crying and crying. He said it was obvious to them what was going to happen. He said Rosh Chodesh Tammuz the next year, she had a baby in her hands. She may not have had the kelim until then, but on Rosh Hashanah, she received the kelim she needed. She took advantage of the moment. She took advantage of the yesh mi'ayin of the ein sofis HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving. And she was zeicha to be able to have these children. And now he said she has 8 children. So Shusha Pinkas continues and he speaks out that the biggest kliach in Rosh Hashanah comes about through when we say the Yud Gimel Midrash Shel Rachamim. Yud Gimel Midrash Shel Rachamim is something which, if we think about how it came about, is also miraculous and doesn't make sense. The Gemara says in Shabbos, when it speaks about the Chet HaEgel that Klal Yisrael did, the Gemara says, Aluva Kala Mazan Tachas Kupasa, a shamelessness on a Kala who does Nus Tachas Achupa. Lo Yaleini, hear a story of an Eishes Ish, does Nus without another man, it's shocking, it's terrifying. But Tachas Achupa, Chazal compared the story, the Chet HaEgel, to a Kala underneath the Chupa. It's something which is beyond imagination to sink so low. And Al Pi Teva, there was no chance for Klal Yisrael to be able to get out of it. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu Taka said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hanicholi, leave me alone. I'm going to destroy them. The Kuzari Taka speaks out a line. He speaks out, Chet in Maima Aleph, Oistadi Gimel, Chet, when he speaks about this, Chet says, Chet Shegdiluhu Aleihem Ligdulosom. The chet was even worse due to the greatness of Klal Yisrael. They were on such a high level, such a high spiritual level. They've just received the Torah, the Zeicha, to see the Zayin Rikim open up, see the Kitzia covered. They reached a level which, for them, reaching that level made the chet a million times worse. And he carries on and he writes, V'hagodol mishachatov sforim, especially Klal Yisrael, who the Averis were so little, they were on such a high level that just doing this one Aveira already threatened to destroy Klal Yisrael. And the only thing that was able to save Klal Yisrael was Yud Gimel Midrash Shel Rachamim. Chazal say, Bris Krusa L'Shreish Yisrei Midrash, She'ini Chayzei Yisreikul. There's a bris that Kodesh Baruch Hu made, Sheishis made Breishis, and saying Yud Gimel Midrash, Machlekes and the Shreinim Achreinim, whether it's saying them or acting them out, another share, whether saying or doing it, but it's Einachazish Reikim. You'll never come back empty-handed. And there are questions, and Maisa, we say it many times, but that's not for now. But that was the koyach that we have. You know the Tosfos which says, bris means in any situation you are, whatever happens, the bris will always remain. In my opinion, says Rabbeinu Tam, when it comes to Zechus Avos, that Tam is Zechus Avos, that Zechus has gone away. But the bris Avos, says Rabbeinu Tam, that will never go away. Yud Gimel Midas, as far as low as a person sinks, that will always remain. So Lemaisa, how do we prepare ourselves for this day? What are we meant to do? So we know it's powerful, we know it's a lot, but what do you want me to do? Rabbeinu Yonah speaks out in Ovis, find it. He writes in Ovis, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud, Rabdois Ben Hakinus Oimeh, Sheino Shal Shacharis, morning sleep. The yain shall tsaraim, drinking wine in the afternoon. Okay, I'm ready, out of time. Okay, I'll tell you very, very quickly. I'm going to miss out this part then for an hour of time. So I'm going to come back to the question that we began with. I'm sorry. But Rav Dessler speaks out. We start off with the question. In Parshas Vayera, we speak about two different topics. Second topic we said is relevant. First topic isn't. Why is that? So Rav Dessler speaks out that when you read the second story of the Haftarah, you read about the Isha Shunamis, who was zeicha to have a child, a beautiful child. You have a question. She waited so many years, and she begged Elisha, please, I beg you, she said, don't give me a brocha and then leave me empty-handed. I can't take that pain. The Maya said, that's what happened. She had a baby, and the baby died. She was broken. She went through hell. She couldn't take it. She runs back to Elisha. And the question said to her, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put her through it? What was the reason? And Rodessa speaks out an amazing idea. He says, that's why the story of Eishes Avadia is spoken out. Eishes Avadia runs to Elisha, she's crying, she can't manage, the kids are going to be taken. And he says to her, you know, borrow kelim, fill out with oil. She goes home, it all happens. She goes back, I've done it, what should I do now? What, you stupid, what do you think? You put it on your shelf so it should be a nice memory. Obviously you take it and you sell it, you make some money from it. What type of question is that? Why did I tell you to do it? Well, why are you coming back and bothering the Navi if you can't work out yourself? Says Rav Dessler, something much deeper. Of course she knew what to do with it. She knew she was meant to take it, sell it, pay off the debts and live off the remaining. It was obvious. But it wasn't hers. The nace came about through Elisha. He was the Baal HaNace, and therefore everything goes back to Elisha. It's not mine. It's not my property to take jurisdiction over and decide what to do. I know what you're most probably going to tell me, but I need to ask you before I do it. Ishar Shunamis waited years to have a baby, but she finally had the baby. Her first thing was, you run to Elisha, have the baby. What kind of clothing should I buy? Which shop should I shop in? Which school should I send him to? Who should his rabbis be? How do you want me to bring him up? It's not my baby. You created this nace. You're the Baal HaDovor. Go and ask him how to do. You didn't. You didn't ask him how to do. You didn't ask him how to live with this child. The Pasuk says, he went out to his father in the field. Going out to the field, is that what you're meant to be doing? You're a miraculous child. You've got a different job in this world. Having such a child and not knowing how to live hasn't got a zuchus kiyum. And therefore, she had to go through this difficult story to understand this message that she has to learn from Elisha how to live with the baby. That, say the Sfarim, is here as well. On Rosh Hashanah, we're begging, we're crying, I didn't say the Rabbeinu Yonah, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us life. And he gives us life every year, time and time again, with all our problems. But now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not my life, it's your life. What do you want from me? How do you want me to use my life? What is expected of me? We've got 2 weeks till we come to the Rosh Hashanah, to the day that we can literally make a mapecha in our lives, where we could be kind of completely new kelim. Things that we need, things that we feel we can't do because we don't have the kelim. Rosh Hashanah, we can get them. But to prepare for that, we have to ask ourselves questions. What do I want my life to look like? How do I want to be looking next year? Do I want to come out saying, yes, I use my year well? Something to change. Every one of us needs to change in a certain way. None of us, as Rishon Shepinkas, daven to Hashem that we should have 3 eyes. Because we know we're not going to get 3 eyes. He says the problem is that none of us believe enough. If we would believe that on Rosh Hashanah such big mapechas are happening, then our tefillahs would look completely different. We've been given Elul as a matana to prepare ourselves. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should all prepare ourselves to prepare what we can get, what we want to get, what we want to do different. And we should be zeicher to a Shana Tovah Masukah Be'ezus Hashem.